This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we've been working remotely for so long now. And it seems like forever, seems like kind of a new way of life. But I don't know if you realize that fortunately, this pandemic is coming to an end. It's got to end someday, as the saying goes. And it seems like it is winding down to some extent. And a lot of people, businesses, are returning to the office that were out, you know, working remotely for the last year or for quite a, seems like forever, I guess I said. But there's an issue about coming back. There's a lot of stress and a lot of uncertainty when people have to change their way of life from one way to another. There was, of course, all the stress and uncertainty during the pandemic when you had to change over to working from home. Now we got the other way around, and everybody is hopefully going back, or many people are going back to work, back to the office, and businesses have to be ready to bring the employees back in a safe way. And the question is, what about the employees? Are they ready to go back? And how is their mental health, and how is their attitude about going back? And do they need help? Do they need assistance? Do they need guidance in mental health as far as getting back to work goes? Well, I read a story recently and about this issue, about handling the stress of returning to the office and about the new normal. And it quoted and had some really good advice from my guest today, who is Aaron M. Moss, a licensed mental health counselor at Aaron M. Moss Mental Health Counseling, private practice in Buffalo. And so she was kind enough to come to On Target through the magic of telephone. Hi. Actually, soon we will be able to meet in person, but now we are talking through the magic, as I said, of Kevin, my producer, and telephone. So how are you? And thank you so much for joining us, Aaron.
Hi, Penny. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you on this phone.
Well, as far as the issue goes, I know you, I said you are a private counselor and you have a private practice. So are you seeing people in person now, and were you seeing them remotely up until now, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's just been so complicated, just so many ups and downs throughout this time of the pandemic. So in the beginning, if we go way back to, March 2020, when we went into the quarantine state here in Western New York, or in New York State, I closed for 4 months. And so when I say closed, my business was still running, but I had to transfer all of my clients to virtual.
Right.
So I closed the doors and was seeing, you know, over 100 people a month virtually. And then, July, I opened my doors back up and I gave people the choice. If they wanted to come in person, they could, or they could continue virtually. And I had to put a lot of safety precautions in my office as well.
Yes, but you are able to see people in person. You know, I was in the studio. I'm talking to you remotely, as I said, but up until March, guests would be here, you know, in the studio with me, and we would be talking face to face. So it's just a whole different experience. So why are people having a hard time mentally with the idea of returning to the office when they've been off, not there for the last year, I guess?
Yeah, well, it took such a huge adjustment, if you remember, when our, you know, world shut down the first time. It was a big adjustment. People didn't know what to do, and then finally they got used to these routines. The covering of the face, the coming home, only seeing your immediate family. And in some cases, maybe there was no one at home at all. We got used to talking with the individuals on Zoom and meetings and all of these things, and also just the fear of being close to someone in person and possibly becoming sick. And so when we look at now the world is sort of opening up a bit and the vaccines are getting around, which is a really great thing, that fear doesn't go away overnight, you know, and people are still trying to figure out if it is safe after being kept away for a year, a little over a year, from people. Now we can be around people. Now I can return to the office. What does that look like? I've been meeting online for months. And so I think the anxiety of it all in returning to the office is a big thing.
Now, I think I'm sure you're right, but not just the rearranging that has to go on, but maybe people are thinking, I wonder if if not just the safety aspect, but I wonder if my colleagues will be the same. I wonder if my office situation will be the same. How will it be, right? How will I adjust if it's different, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, change is always a scary thing for people. You know, we don't know what to expect. And you're right. When I think about just the changes that a lot of offices had to make for safety reasons alone, it could change physically where your office may have been located, you know, what meetings look like. And again, that can evoke a lot of feelings of stress, anxiety, just the change of it all when it comes to my work environment.
Right. So I know you have there's ideas, tools that you use to manage or to help people manage the anxiety in the workplace. What can people do? What tools can people use?
Well, I say self-care all day. And so you want to be practicing self-care at home. We should have been doing that the entire time during the pandemic, but also at work. And when we say self-care, finding ways to connect with self, meaningful ways. So not just doing different activities, but things, you know, that, you know, make you feel a sense of calm and peace. It could be taking a moment, you know, stepping outside if you're at work and doing some deep breathing exercises. It could be connecting with your support system over the phone or online. You know, you could take some silly putty to work or a stress ball, but different ways that you can create a sense of calm and also maybe a break away from the hustle and bustle of work.
Okay. I know that there's, when you say self-care, there's a lot of things that people have been doing during when they're home to also for themselves, right? To get through the stress and like that they might not have done before. Meditating, yoga, things like that, I guess.
Yeah, those things are really great. I say yoga, well, not just I say, clinically, we tell people to use yoga. It is great for things like anxiety and awful trauma. And this experience that we went through has been a traumatic experience. I don't know if people are associating that word to it, but this was a traumatic experience for everyone. Just seeing, you know, what happened around the world, what happened locally. You can't talk to someone that has not been impacted by COVID in every family. And so when you look at things like meditation, like yoga, that's definitely an entire mind and body experience working together. And those are things that don't just stay with you at home. You could do yoga at the park. You can do meditation at work. You know, and so finding a safe space where you feel comfortable to do that, it could be a great tool that you take with you that really you don't even have to bring anything but yourself. Some earbuds might be great as well. You can pop those in and turn on some relaxing music and totally transform where you are. You'll go from your workplace to the beach.
Yeah, right. I know. I think that music, I forget when I have a massage or something and they play the music. Like the waves on the beach, or raindrops or wind or birds. She has one that plays birds, you know, in the trees, and it all relaxes you and takes you to another place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Calm app is really good, you know, but you want to have things, you know, in your ear, you know, whether it's a meditation or, like you said, some really peaceful music that can really help you to come to that place of calm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about communicating, about mental health and communicating. You know, there's always been, when we're talking about the stress of returning to the office and people, employees having, you know, mental health issues, there's always been a stigma, people struggling with mental health. But I'm thinking that that is getting a lot better as time goes on and more people are acknowledging that they do need help or that they do need, you know, some kind of therapy about mental health. And do you think the stigma is getting better?
You know, the stigma is always there, I find. In one way or another, we're always working to break the stigma. But I think you're right, Penny. It is starting to chip away. You know, when we look at just every single person was impacted by COVID, it is becoming more normalized to say mental health. It is becoming more normalized to say, at the very least, I feel stressed, I feel worried, I feel low. Maybe the person can't vocalize the words depression, but they're starting to use feelings-based words and describing that they're having a tough time. So absolutely right. People are talking about mental health. You're hearing that in pockets of friend groups, employers, but you're also seeing that, you know, being covered in the media, you know, and so we have to continue to talk about mental health. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes life-changing events for us to start to bring mental health issues into the forefront and get people the help that they deserve.
Right. You know, I was thinking, too, about there's the changes when people go back, the office protocols, that may be a point of stress, too, for people when they go back to their job. There may be stress in how different things or how things have changed and their workplace environment.
Yes, you know, and that goes back to what I said, it could physically look different. And again, I know change can be scary for a lot of us. So if my desk used to be in the corner by the window and I like to, you know, look at the scenery and now, you know, it's positioned different, that could be a big deal for someone. You know, and so I think, you know, being open to changes, being open to talking with your, you know, staff members and employers, you know, about any changes and if there's any way that they can work with you. A lot of employers are trying to work with their staff. You know, there may be ways that they could make you feel more comfortable because they're going through things as well. And they're happy to have staff members back. There's a lot of places that are understaffed. And so I really believe that this is what I'm telling my clients. Any way that employers can work with you, they're probably open to doing that right now.
Right, because it's different for going to be different for employers too. I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in today. You are listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, and our guest today is Aaron M. Moss, who is a mental health counselor in private practice here in Western New York, and we are discussing pretty much coping with stress and anxiety about returning to the office. As business as usual, or business as reopened and not as usual, I guess we should be saying. Let's talk about the employers a bit. We were talking about the employees. Let's talk about what the employers can do because they're going to be, I guess the employees will be, as we said, nervous and worried about the changes, but employers, I guess, could make it easier if they are aware of the fact that their employees are going through this stress and trauma. So what can they do?
Absolutely. Employers should have open conversations about safety precautions, but also about mental health. This is a time, if you haven't been talking about burnout and taking a break, that you definitely introduce those concepts into your team meeting. Employers should be promoting their employee assistance programs, EAP. Most places have an EAP program, and really what that is it's outside, counseling connection company. And so they would connect employees to counseling support for usually a limited amount of sessions to deal with work-related issues or personal issues that could be interfering with work. And so reminding employees about their EAP plans, a lot of people never use them. And so now is the time to use those things, and also promoting healthy practices at work. Like I said, self-care, being mindful. Employers should also let employees know, hey, my door is open. Please feel free to come to me if you're experiencing anything, if you need to talk, if there is something that you need of me. So that I can make sure that you're comfortable here at work. But we have to keep lines of communication open.
I think that people's situations, employees' situations, may have changed too, and employers are going to have to resign themselves to that or work with that. For example, the child care issues in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, again, those open conversations, because although someone's work could be back open, let's say they're in the office 5 days a week, a child's school could be still, maybe every other day. I think some school-age children are still meeting, maybe a Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday type of deal, Thursday, Friday or something like that, or in some cases, maybe just 2 days a week. Other cases, parents don't want their child to go to school. Maybe the child has not gotten vaccinated yet, or most children have not. And so maybe they've opted to have their child still working virtually. Parents still have that option. And so how an employer works with that employee is essential. And what we're finding as well is business kept going, even though the world was shut down, that we were able to still do work, online. We were still able to have meetings. And so being flexible, even if that person had to come in, I'm sure there are days that they could work from home. We have to keep in mind that we are still in the pandemic. So the vaccines are getting around. We are opening up. There is hope, finally. But we're still making our way through this, and we have to be mindful of each other's needs.
Right. People can feel hopeful and anxious at the same time, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. You absolutely can.
So people might also be feeling the other way about leaving behind. They're so used to now being at home with members of the household and being together, and they may be also feeling sad or anxious or worried about leaving the togetherness behind and going back to work.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was talking with someone yesterday. I am one of those people that gets up and goes. I serve in the community on, mental health boards. I run my practice, attending different charity functions and things. And when everything shut down, I was forced to be inside. And that's very different for me. And I got so used to, being at home and making home feel comfortable and all of that. And so you're right. It is a shift. You've gotten so used to, making do with life at home and maybe actually enjoying that, whatever that looks like, whether it's just you or, it's you and your kid, or there's a lot of people at home. And it is another adjustment, just like it was in the beginning, of, now another new normal.
It's funny. It's like the other way around. You know, we're thinking about, oh, we're so excited to get back to work or to get back. But people may feel just the opposite. Oh, no, I don't want to leave. I don't want to have to get dressed again, right?
yeah. Everyone lived in their, you know, sweat clothes. And, you know, so it's totally different. And I say where you can, ease your way into it, that it doesn't have to be, you know, all at once. You know, but, you know, make sure that you're doing it, if you can, at a comfortable pace.
Mm-hmm. And I have to think about what the bottom half of me looks like, because so far,
right.
Isaac, so far I've just had the top half that anybody
right.
could see, you know, and I think
yeah, everyone's on the top and party on the bottom. Right?
I know. So even when I'm doing like the television show that I'm doing for the talk show, there's a desk, so it's just the top. You just see the top. I'm giving away mm-hmm. these secrets if anybody watches. And the bottom, I'm wearing like jeans or something. And the top, I'm wearing this, you know, formal dressy top, trying to fool
right.
people. But now I'm going to have to do the whole body. so the another thing that I think you point out is that's important is communications, back to going back to work aspect. The employer and the employee need to have some, you know, communications, open communications about the employer can ask the staff or get together with the employee or, you know, talk to them and see what their needs are and see how they're feeling, that kind of interaction.
Absolutely. You know, that's going to be key, especially because everyone's situation is different. There are so many different dynamics when you look at how COVID has impacted people. For one employee, maybe it's a childcare issue. Another employee can be grieving. There are a lot of people that passed away, unfortunately.
Yes.
There's just so many dynamics. There have been loved ones that have been separated during the pandemic that have not been able to see family members. Maybe you have a young employee that's working there and they usually go home, but they have not been able to go to wherever home is, you know, and so there's a lot of different things there. And so I really advise each supervisor to personally, not pry, but just to put a bug in each individual employee's ear of, I'm here if you need, you know, or even carve out that time. If you can, a lot of places, even if they're big, they have smaller teams, but carve out a time for each person.
And as far as health goes, you pointed out that people may have suffered themselves as well. They might not only have people in their family that passed away from COVID or that suffered, but they themselves might have been sick during this period. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's a fine line between prying and showing that you care or that you're interested in the person, right?
Yeah. But, you know, and our health information has always been, you know, something that you can keep to yourself, you know, when we talk
yes.
about the medical world. But also just in general, you know, we don't get in people's health business, you know, unless they volunteer information. But COVID was a little different. You know, if someone had gotten COVID-19, they were asked to, you know, let the people know as a courtesy so that, you know, they could stay home or they did not come into contact with anyone else. And so it's kind of brought up some different things there where, at least on this issue, we are openly talking about it and letting people know, hey, I have to get tested before I come in because I was exposed, you know, or, you know, I just got a test and it came back positive. I have to quarantine for this amount of days. That, you know, in my experience of the individuals that choose to come in, and there's a lot of people that really wanted to, were happy to get back face-to-face to talk to their therapist, which is me. You know, what I can say is I'm just so grateful. My clients have been so open of letting me know, hey, Erin, this is going on. I'm in quarantine. And I'm thankful that they've been mindful of me. So I'm seeing a lot of that, not just in my office, but everywhere. But we have to communicate about that.
Well, we're so used to the HIPAA, just that you talked about before. We're so used to the idea that anything to do with person's health is totally confidential. And now it's sort of, because of COVID, it's just the opposite, where you had the contact tracing and you had people needing to know for the safety of others and for the community that you had to, you know, be aware of it. So that's kind of a rethinking, a reimagining the situation.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's certain businesses and places that you go into, especially hospitals, and immediately before you can enter, they're taking your temperature. So even if you're not reporting that, you know, or maybe you're being tested, you know, and so it's really transformed that.
Yes, I think I've had my temperature taken one day, 5 times in one day,
wow.
You know, of different times. So now, Erin, tell our listeners how they can find you, get further information, and I know you have a website if you'd like to give that to us.
Yes. So my practice is Erin M. Moss Mental Health Counseling Private Practice. I'm located at 770 Niagara Falls Boulevard, and that's Buffalo, New York, 14223. And you can find everything you need to know about me, contact information, whether you want to become a client or if you're looking to have me speak. I do a lot of speaking and outreach, and also do some writing. And so if you go to erinmmoss.com, that is my website, www.erinmmoss.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. And thank you so much for helping our listeners with the issues that they may be facing of reentry and giving us such good advice of coping with stress and anxiety of returning to the office. And we really appreciate your sharing this information with us on Target. And thanks for listening, everybody. We will be with you again next week, same time, same station. Have a really good week, and goodbye for now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.